and welcome to pod 42 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the official Palace app, eagles.cbfc.co.uk, and all the social media channels. This week, I'm recording this intro in the edit suite at the training ground with our two camera operator editors, Dominic and Sean. How's it going, Dom? What happened to you this morning?
I don't like this pressure.
What happened to you this morning?
I was late.
You were late, weren't you? Why were you late?
Busy working.
Okay, and did I tell you off?
No.
Thank you. Sean, what are you looking forward to editing on the pod this week?
We have got Darren and Wilf from a video that we made earlier. And what else? Oh, James MacArthur talking about football.
Okay, is it interesting?
Probably not.
And Statman as well. But yeah, so only three today. You'll find out why later on. But yeah, to kick things off, here's James MacArthur talking to Premier League Productions.
So finally, the international break is over. I know obviously you're not involved for your country anymore, but how has the break been for you? A bit of recuperation, I guess, as well?
Yeah, it was needed. I was struggling with a back for a couple of weeks, so to get that came at the right time and looking forward to trying kicking on.
Yeah, you had, 70 minutes at Chelsea. How's the back doing now? Because I know it reoccurs.
Yeah, it's much, much better. The best I've felt in a long time, to be honest. The physios and the team over there have done excellent for me. So,
I bet after this Liverpool game, you're really looking forward to seeing the back of these fixtures. I've just got them here. You've had City, Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea, and now Liverpool. I mean, that is some run of fixtures.
Yeah, but we're looking forward to the Liverpool game. It's a chance for us to go and express ourselves and try and pick up some points against an amazing side. They've been flawless really this season. But we are a good side that we can cause anybody problems. We know that we're going to need to do all the right things, probably ride a bit of luck at times. But we're confident we can give them a very good game.
It's been a bit of an inconsistent season for you, but lying in 12th, and it's so tight, like a win, a point can really make a difference, can't it?
Yeah, I would say that it's been a good start of the season. Obviously, with the run of fixtures, we've probably not picked up as many points as we would have liked to, but if you look at it as a whole, I think with the games we've got remaining until the halfway point, I think a lot of people would have taken that.
Yeah, the lack of goals has obviously been a real problem. In the past, you've been able to count on several players, particularly Wilf Zaha.
Yeah, but we need, as a team, to score more. It's not just down to any individual. We're creating chances. We just obviously need to be that bit more clinical. But we need to keep doing the right things as well, rather than thinking we need to go and score. We need to keep teams out, and we've been doing that. Not bad this year.
You haven't won against Liverpool in the last eight. What glimmers of hope are there? What have you seen in training that makes you think that this time it could be different?
We've given them good games in the past. There's been a lot of games that we have been right in the game. Before this bad run, we had an amazing run against them. I know they're a different side now, but we want to obviously impose ourselves at home. We know that the crowd is going to get behind us. Hopefully after international break, we can catch them off guard.
Just want to talk to you about one amazing game back in 2004. I think it's been dubbed Christambul. Three up, Liverpool were, and then Crystal Palace stormed back to score three goals and, you know, an incredible game. I know that you weren't here at the time, but what do you remember of that game?
I think it was the season before I came here, and it was an amazing time for the Premier League. Liverpool looked like they were going to win the league, and then Crystal Palace came back with an amazing comeback that broke so many hearts.
There are injury doubts at the moment. It looks like Andy Robertson with an ankle, and also Mo Salah with an ankle injury. Does that give you extra hope, or would you rather go up against a full-strength Liverpool?
I don't think it really matters. They've got quality all the way through the side. Those two have been amazing this year. They've been very, very good, very consistent. But whoever comes in, this top quality all the way through that side, that we know we're going to need to be on our game.
8 points clear, they are at the top of the table. For them, is it their title to lose now, do you believe?
I don't really think too much about Liverpool, to be honest, about the title. I try and concentrate on Crystal Palace and all we can do. We want to have a successful year this year, and we need to start on Saturday by trying to get 3 points.
What is a successful season for you? What is the target?
Winning Saturday. That's the motto we've got at Crystal Palace. Try not get too far ahead of yourself. Win each game as it comes, and try and build on last year and keep progressing. The club have got a lot of ambition, and the players are trying to match that.
I mean, as you say, there's quality all over the pitch where Liverpool's concerned, but that front three, I mean, it's pretty hard to be stopping them. What kind of things have you been working on in training?
But that's the Premier League. You look at all the top sides and they've all got the front three or two, and they've got quality, superb quality, I must say, that you need to be on it. If you're not, then they punish you. Liverpool have been consistent for a number of years, especially the front three that they've got. We're going to need to make it hard for them. We're going to need to be solid as a unit and stop them from trying to get in behind lines and in behind us. So we know that we're going to have a hard task, but we're there, ready to work.
Sadio Mane, 7 goals in 9 games. How much of a danger is he?
As I say, as all of them are. If you try and concentrate in one, the other person hurts you. We know as a defensive unit, that starts from the front. I think it needs to against a team like Liverpool. Our back four is going to need to be played really, really well to obviously keep them out, but we believe we can do that.
I know that you've mentioned about the lack of goals and how they have to come from all over. Is that because the front three, I guess, because your strikers are suffering at the moment with a bit of a goal drought, is there extra emphasis about other people chipping in with goals? Do you feel extra pressure to be getting forward, for example?
I think it's more built up in the media, to be honest, that you need to start scoring more goals. Where we are on the table, we're relatively happy with the run of games that we've had. We know when we come through this, we're going to have a run where, realistically, there's a lot of points that we feel that we can go and get. Obviously, every game's hard, but we don't really put too much pressure on ourselves as in who needs to score.
Yeah. In terms of how training has gone since international break, I mean, you've had some really great news sort of throughout the team. I know Wayne Hennessy must be absolutely delighted about Wales, and I think Ayew scored for Ghana as well. How can you kind of bring that positivity of the international break rather than fatigue and kind of use it to a positive?
There is a lot of positivity. I think Wayne, everyone was delighted for him. He's just matched Neville Southall's clean sheet record for Wales, which is an amazing achievement. More or less becomes a legend in Wales, and everyone's buzzing from there. Everyone's come back fit and healthy, and done well for their countries, and we obviously will feed off the positivity that they're bringing back.
Just a word on your manager, Roy Hodgson. Of course, it is a former team of his. Does that give him a little bit of extra motivation for this one? Has he spoken to you about anything like that?
No, the gaffer's very professional. He treats every game the same. Inside, he might have a bit extra incentive to try and win, but he doesn't show us any. It's very professional.
I feel that Roy Hodgson, for you, has been a really positive influence. What is it exactly that he's done that's really helped your game come on in leaps and bounds?
He's trusted me a lot. When you've got a manager that trusts you, you feed off it, you feel that he believes in everything you do, and not only myself, a lot of players have got that same feeling. He's a great man, and everyone wants to do well for him.
How would you describe your season so far?
I would say that it's been a relatively good season. I think obviously this run of games has been tough, but we're looking forward to from Saturday, try to kick on and try and push up that table.
James MacArthur there. And now moving on to the second item of the podcast. It's a bumper edition, possibly the longest ever Statman, and this time we're up in the sky. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
Statman. Statman.
Yep, that's right. We are high up in the Upper Holmesdale today. What do you think of the Upper Holmesdale, Statman?
I mean, we were just chatting. I don't think many places sum up Crystal Palace Football Club more than where we're currently sat. Upper Holmesdale. I mean, should we read out the seat number? Whoever's in here has got one of the best seats in the ground.
Yeah, we're row two.
Row two, to be fair, seat 105, I think. The perfect view to see patterns of play behind the goal, lovely height, get the atmosphere.
I trust someone's opinion of the game from up here, because a lot of the time, I mean, I watch the game with the analysts, so obviously I trust their opinion because they're in the team meetings a week.
Where do you actually watch it? Sorry, are you in the corner of the main stand?
Yeah, in that corner.
The one where if it goes above head height, you can't see the ball. Any goal kicks, just lose the ball.
Yeah, but I've got a monitor as well, so I flick between watching on the screen. But we're with the analysts, so I know what the formation is, and then you have to listen to people saying, we never play 4-3-3 or whatever, and I literally just did.
Yeah,
you didn't even notice. But I would trust someone up here to know what the formation is and what went on.
Yes. I've got a question for you. You're playing Football Manager or FIFA, you want to change formation, easy. Just press left, right, whatever, select. How do you do it in football? Because I think I know the answer, but I want to ask you.
I don't know. We don't change during the game that much.
But if you do, you would during the game sometimes.
Yeah, you just go 4-1-1 something. Yeah,
but you don't want to give that away, do you?
No, I don't know how they do it without letting people
know. So I heard, and again, this is on one of Campbell's tours, so I don't know if this is correct. But
you just gave away your surname.
You use it. I'm going to be found out sooner or later. The jig is up, isn't it? Every recording is a blessing from now on. But yeah, I heard James MacArthur is, inverted commas, the communicator. And he's often going to the pitch side, the dugouts, and will pick up the instructions from Hodgson. And I've noticed that a fair bit.
Okay. I'll ask him about it.
Yeah, can you? I look out for it. Because, again, I don't want to be giving faulty stats, mate. You know, I want that to be...
I'll find out for you. And if that's true, then I'll let you know and you can carry on telling people on your tours.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you.
But, yeah, a lot of the time, like, the Dave Reddington on the bench has got a radio.
Yeah.
And the analysts are on the radio as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time they'll be shouting down set pieces saying so-and-so's... unmarked there, and then you'll see him come out and shout instructions because you can see it better from higher up.
Got you.
Or a lot of the time they'll say, this is happening because so-and-so's tucking in too much, he needs to go out. You know, sometimes they'll ignore them.
But. And here's a question. I think this is the first season, I believe it's this one, it might have been last season, sorry, that tablets are allowed pitch side in the dugouts. Do you remember that? They brought that in? I'm pretty sure it's this
Rings
season.
Rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if we've been using it or not. Again, it's a question for... I've not seen someone there I've seen it at other grounds. I've seen Man United do it at Old Trafford. But
I've seen someone.
Got you
no, someone had a tablet because they were looking for a charger for it.
That's a great sign. 75th minute. Oh, lads, I'm out of battery here.
Yeah, I don't know what it was for. Yeah, are they allowed to see replays now? We've got VAR? I don't know.
Great shout. By the way, not that I know everyone. It's like Brexit now, talking about VAR. Everyone's switch off. I think I've solved VAR.
Okay.
Genuinely. And there was a bloke I spoke about before, Man United fan, Chinese Man United fan, called Ed. He came up with this, to be fair to him, so I'm just copyright Ed. Right, so the whole thing about VAR, it's slow, you know, really, really turgid, slows the game down. Everyone, what's going on? This is dreadful. All that. 15 minutes of stoppage time. Right, the answer has been in front of us all along. Okay, why football's not copying other sports, adapting the adapting VAR, I don't know. Look at tennis. Look at cricket, and look at NFL in particular, brought it in first. You give each side challenges, maybe one per half or one per match, and that way the game's fluid.
I've heard this argument.
Yeah, okay, well, let me just make it first, then come back with your rebuttal. So the game's fluid, you know, then you're really looking for obvious errors from the ref. You could then, you know, place your challenge, put it in, they'll have a full-on review on it, but then afterwards, if you lose it, then you get that natural, organic, you can cheer, you know the team. It's like in cricket, you know, when they've used up their reviews, LBW's given, bang, you go absolutely barmy, because that's it, you know the wicket's given now, there's no overturning it. I just think you'd get that, because I believe we're still in the stage now where fans are losing it for goals, it's great. Give it a few years, we might get the old rugby celebrations, 80%, 75%, oh no, they're getting, oh, that looked a bit offside. Back in the day, your goal goes in, you have a quick look at the linesman, if he's pelting it back to the halfway line, oh, it's a wonderful sight in football. It's one of the best sights, isn't it? Flag down, linesman's running back. Your argument, please.
You'd still get that, because then the other team could still appeal it. You're looking at the other team and waiting for them to appeal your goal.
Yeah. So you'd have it. You'd have the, are they going to challenge this? But I'm saying if it's one per game, like in tennis, it's one per set.
Yeah,
they use it.
What if you use it up, but you use it up on something that's like a subjective decision where you really feel like you should have had a penalty and someone looks at it and goes, not enough for me. So you've used it up on that, but then later on in the game, a glaring error happens and then you're not, and you miss it. But the whole point of VAR is that you're removing like the big errors. You'd still get them if you've used up all your reviews.
I just think you've got the theatre then.
I don't see a problem with it at the moment.
Give me theatre. Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's in the early stages. But the thing is, everyone moaned. They're not turning anything over. They're not changing anything. There's no decisions. Then they went one weekend where they clearly had a chat and gone, okay, we've listened to people. They want us to change more. They change more. They're changing everything. What are they doing? They're changing everything. And then they go back the next weekend to not doing it. There's no consistency. Yeah, but you ask them to change.
Yeah, I know. I do love
it. I don't know. But maybe just because Palace, we haven't had anything go against us. Yeah. It's worked in our favour.
Yeah, if anything. Have you seen that league table, by the way, that says if VAR wasn't about...
It's 3 points, is it?
We lose a good few places on it. Yeah. You look at... Well, Arsenal in particular... Got that lucky. Chris Grierson frantically checking the recording on this. He told me beforehand, we it needs to be a short pod.
No, it doesn't need to be short. I'm just checking that it was still recording.
And we've opened up VAR. Let's chat Brexit after this. But
I don't want to chat about it. I get the thing about not knowing what's going on in the stadium.
Yeah.
I get
that.
Is it that bad? Like, is it like everyone's like, what's going on? But you know there's a check going on, so you know either something's going to happen positive or not.
Yeah.
And then they show the replay on the screen.
But they don't always. This is the thing. They don't always.
They should do.
They
right?
should do. And a perfect example of that is the game Southampton-Leicester. Everyone's moaning. Oh, he sent him off. We're in the game. Comes up on the big screen. Right, that's a leg breaker. Everyone goes quiet. Fair play. Red card.
And the thing is, they didn't show the one that we got. Probably maybe got lucky with the Luka one against Arsenal. They didn't show that on the big screen. But that was. I did actually check with the Premier League.
Yeah.
Why?
And what
because
they say?
There was a technical problem. So what happened was...
Oh, what
happened was, in the first half with the Wilf one, when he got accused of diving,
and overturned.
By accident, Arsenal played out through the PA system the conversation that was coming from Stockley Park to the referee.
No.
Yeah, one of our cameramen heard it pitch side as well. You could hear it come through the PA system as I'm talking, so they'd accidentally wired that through.
Yeah.
So they made the decision at half time not to risk putting anything else out on the screen.
Because there was a problem with it.
And then the video wasn't played for the Luke one, and it made it look like they they hadn't put it on the screen because they were trying to hide it, but it wasn't actually that. It was a technical problem.
But that again...
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. But that again, for me, would be a great... It's not in the stadium solving it, but I want to hear that chat with the refs. It's just like this one I'm watching on TV, like they do in rugby. It's amazing. You get so much more in rugby when you hear what they're looking for, offside, was there a knock-on?
Football's so scared of that. They've always been so scared of putting the referees up after anything to talk or hearing that. I don't know why in football are they so against it. Is it because of the amount players swear and they know that they'd have to start sending people off?
That's a really good point. If someone comes up to the ref and goes effing blinding,
but
are you not
checking
that?
How many times do you see a player look at a ref and tell him to F off and they don't get booked because it's just like, nah, it's football, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'd have a problem with swearing, to be honest.
I think why don't we go one further? Why don't we use this and then pick up on that as well? Because it's not right. Why are you effing and blinding? Then kids are effing and blinding. That's brilliant. Let's use technology for the better again. Improve the game and get more referees into it as well. God, look at us with an educated VAR chat. I think we need to get into stats.
People will always, moan at referees. It's what is fascinating is watching, is not many people actually do it, watching the game, because I watch it in the stadium,
yep.
but with replays.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you get
I can watch it, have an initial thing and go, oh, that's a foul, and then watch the replay and go, oh, it wasn't. But everyone in the stadium doesn't. And the referee gets booed off almost every game.
Yes.
Because everyone will just believe that he's against them, whatever happens.
Yeah.
So maybe people are scared that VAR will take that away. But at least people are still debating. One of the biggest arguments, I've said this before, against VAR was, but we want stuff to debate about. Decisions. Everyone's debating.
VAR.
The only thing is they're talking about VAR. But they're still debating decisions because there are still things that happen that...
That's true.
The offside one is the other one. This is my theory.
Oh, go on, Nick. Go on, then.
Because I've got two theories. I yo-yo between the two because I'm a centrist.
Off air, though, he's not. You should hear this man's opinions.
The one that people say, you know, when they're like, whatever that one was the other week where it was really close. This is ridiculous. It's offside. Like, there's a line.
Where did you
draw the line? Literally there.
Literally,
like,
you draw
the line there. It doesn't matter if it's toenail, it's offside. Okay, that's one opinion, which sometimes I take when I'm angry. But the other one is, why not? This might make it more complicated. If you know that you can't be exact with the exact point that it touches their foot. Because apparently it's when it hits the foot, not when it leaves it. Especially with the frames on the cameras. So why don't you have a margin of error? So there's a margin of error, like say like an inch either side of the line, right? And you put that down, and then if it falls within that area, it's linesman's call. Like in cricket, when it goes to umpire's call.
So you go
with what the linesman saw with his eyes down on the pitch. So then you're getting an idea of, did it look massively offside or not? That's the only other option other than getting rid of offsides for VAR. But... You know, there's literally a line. Just get over it.
Or
don't get over it if you want to score a goal.
But all you've done there is just extend the line, haven't you? Slightly. I mean, I think it's just, it just works
where it is. Because of margin of error. Because Hawkeye in cricket, there's a margin of error. Like, you don't know exactly where. But, just accept that it's going to be narrow.
Yeah. Fast forward 20 years, we'll have robots. We'll have every correct decision within seconds. And we'll miss this, won't we?
Speaking of robots, how was Tokyo?
Unbelievable, mate. And what I will say, I know it's so cliche to talk about it. Those toilets, mate.
Oh, good, aren't they?
Unbelievable.
Did you nearly leave the seat?
They're so strong. But there's even like music you can put on when you're in public ones. So, you know, if you've got digestive problems, put the music on. No one needs to hear that. Wonderful. So there's that. There's, you know, the seats are warm. They warm the seats, every single one. Just perfect. Maybe not a vegan's dream. I ate nothing but meat and fish whilst I was out there.
Really hard to eat out there.
Yeah.
In fact, I had to have egg a couple of times because there was nothing.
That's sad. How do you feel about that, mate?
Sometimes you just have to do it.
Is that why you came back really down afterwards?
No. I'm very strict usually, but if there's no other option and you're in a country... It doesn't have it.
It's not killing that animal, is it?
But no, the thing is that... I'm not going to go into the arguments, but it's a football podcast.
We've had VAR. We can't have veganism as well.
But the thing is, like, for anyone thinking of going plant-based after watching Game Changers, which a few of the players have, so there's amazing food now.
There we go.
Meat eaters are more obsessed with trying to pick holes in everything you do than other people. All people do is go, oh, we can't have that. Oh, avocados. Oh, they're actually not ethical. It's like, why are you obsessed? Why don't you just look at your own life? Anyway, moving on to the stats.
And a slap to all the face of the meat eater listeners here. let's get stuck into it. I tell you what is a worry. You haven't had me on for a few weeks because I gave a dodgy stat at the before one of the games. You're like, I'm not having that. Luka Milivojevic penalty stat. You tore me apart because to be fair, I hadn't written it down and I tried to wing it. You absolutely called me up. Haven't had me on since. So
No. It's just bad luck, really.
Rightly so. Anyway, we missed each other. I'm back now. But what was ironic about that last stat that we did? We were chatting about Europe. I think we even went into the places we'd most like to visit and the teams we'd most like to play when we're in the Europa or the Champions League last season. So, I mean, we maybe got us slightly carried away.
We always knew it was a tough run. You just wait till December. We'll be safe by middle of Jan, by the January sales.
I hope so. We've got a tough run in. Really tough run in. Ending with Mourinho's Tottenham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Last game of the season. But anyway, got a bit carried away. Now let's talk about Liverpool. And firstly, just in the 3 and a bit years I've been working here, this has been the busiest game. Quickest sold out. All corporate facilities.
The broadcasters in as well.
Everyone's trying to sneak in here.
It's changed. Until yesterday, I didn't even have an interview room for after the game. It was full.
Did they not know who you are?
No.
No, or evidently not, to be fair. That answers the question. They don't. Right, let's get into these. Because there was such a big intro, it actually helps. There aren't that many, and I've specifically kept them to a minimum. Because they're not very good, mate. They're really not very good this week.
Not recently. No.
Yeah, not recently.
When I first started working here, we always did well against Liverpool.
Yeah. So that, I mean, the one that sticks out for me is always Gerrard's last one at Anfield. Loved that one. Obviously, Christian Ball and the 3-1 win in 2014.
Warnock was manager then.
Yeah. Can you name scorers for me? And who opened the scoring? Who opened the scoring that day? Palace v Liverpool. November. It will be exactly 5 years to the day since that victory, which will come up in my stats later, on Saturday.
So I definitely know two of the Palace goal scorers.
Go on, hit me.
Joe Ledley.
Yes.
And Mele.
Yes.
That was a free kick, wasn't it?
Yeah. This lad, he always popped up. He liked goals against Liverpool.
Puncheon?
No. Striker?
Glenn Murray?
No.
Dwight Gayle?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
But for an absolute bonus point, Liverpool went ahead in the second minute. Yeah. I can't believe we let him score. Ricky Lambert.
Oh, really?
he popped up. And then we pumped them. But yeah, since then, it's all gone downhill. So the last four in a row against Liverpool, we've lost. And we're looking at games at Selhurst Park. It's 5 in a row we've lost.
Yeah, it's not fun.
So that's not particularly nice.
It would have been close. We lost 4-2, didn't we? But it was close for a bit. I'm sure it was 4-2. And then last time it was a Mohamed Salah.
With the dive.
With the
dive,
yeah,
I think VAR's in that.
You can say.
I can say what I like. I'm not dealing.
Dive.
I'm not dealing with the Liverpool press team tomorrow.
It goes down easy.
Yeah,
it
was
a dive. Shot.
Now, what was significant about the red card that followed?
It was Aaron Wan-Bissaka, wasn't it? And it was the first red card we'd had for 2.5 years.
Oh, it's as if I teed you up.
The one before that was Pap Suarez against Watford.
Well done, that man.
Thank you.
Anyone would think this is your job. But yeah, in fact, let's talk about red cards. This is one of my interesting stats. So, last two games we've had, Palace v Liverpool, there have been two red cards. So, Wan-Bissaka in that home game, and then at Anfield, who got sent off? Terrorised by Wilfried Zaha that day.
James Milner.
Absolutely terrorised. Two bookings. Also, what was interesting about the red card that he received? Who sent him off?
Who sent him off?
Yeah. You don't know this. I'll put you out your misery. John Moss, his previous primary school teacher.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember that now.
So
that's
that,
funny.
That was really cool. I thought a nice moment. Also, it did make me think, surely that's biased that he's refereeing that game in the first place. Either way, he might be. I used to have my headmaster referee rugby matches, and he was so biased the other way to the opposing team.
Yeah, they go the other way. It's like when dads are in charge of football teams and they're really harsh on their sons or daughters, or mums in charge of teams and they're really harsh on their sons or daughters.
Are these dark memories you're bringing up here? Something you want
to. No, I'm just trying to cover all bases.
Right, okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. But let's chat red cards then. So, two in a row. Now, if there's a red card tomorrow, it'll be unprecedented. There'll be three in a row. Even the Merseyside derby has only had that once, where they've had a red card in three consecutive matches. So will there be a red? It'll be amazing if there is. Because you don't really see it as a spicy game, do you? Palace v Liverpool. High tempo, great game, which is normally televised. The first time it hasn't been televised in years, the game at Selhurst. But in
the UK.
In the, here we go.
Certainly on around the world.
Here we go.
Seeing as I don't have an interview room.
63 different countries are showing it tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go, trying to outstat me with your broadcasting. right, yeah. So we chatted about defeats, haven't we? That was glorious. We chatted about red cards. Let's talk about goals conceded. So
I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. So Liverpool have only conceded 6 goals. So, despite conceding 6 goals more than Liverpool this season, this is Palace, yeah. 6 goals more, we've actually got more clean sheets. So we've kept 3 clean sheets and Liverpool 2. So that's nice.
Very nice.
So we just get pumped in the other games.
We be in.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We talked about the red card side. I'm going on to Dan Blundell, copyright, his stats that he's given me. Shout out, Dan Blundell.
Shout out, Danny boy.
Let's talk about different goal scorers.
That's cringe. So this that's really cringe. I'm sorry, everyone's going to stop listening. I've gone on a rant about VAR that no one will agree with me. I realise I'm being...
And veganism.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, everyone. Please don't let this affect your listening pleasure.
If you're listening to this, just...
You brought it up, though.
Yeah, no, but if you're listening to this, just skip to the Ambrose v Zaha interview.
Yes.
On a side note, shout out to my boy Darren. Brilliant. That's his first interview. He's looking to get into media. I thought he absolutely smashed it.
He did. It was very impressive.
Yeah. Are you worried for your job here?
No. I did write the questions.
Oh, here we go.
Do you know what? No, not all of them.
Not the intro.
No, that's all of his. That was very good. You could tell he's been a best man.
Yeah, he was very best man, wasn't it?
No, it was great. Yeah. No, I sent him questions.
Yeah.
And then he, amazing. And only the day before as well, I memorised them. He only looked at his iPad to check like a stat on when Wilf's debut was.
Brilliant.
And that was it. The rest of it, he'd memorised it, did it all in order, and then threw in his own his own way of saying it.
Yeah,
very good.
Well, we've seen. We used to have Clinton working with us in hospitality, one of our hosts. Look where he's gone, smashing it now.
We're an academy, aren't we?
We are academy for media presenters. But you know, you have so many Liverpool ones out there. Let's get more Palace ones out there.
Let's flood them. Red and blue.
Flood them. So anyway, shout out to Ambrose there. Brilliant interview. Right, let's talk about goal scorers quickly. This one particularly worries me because my word, are they free scoring, Liverpool? So they've had 13 different goal scorers, which is the most in the league. In contrast, what am I going to say here?
We've had the least.
We've had the fewest. Yeah, just four goal scorers. Can you name them quickly?
Luka Milivojevic.
Yep.
Jordan Ayew.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Patrick van Aanholt.
Yes.
Is there one more?
One more.
Someone that's come on as sub.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Correct.
Was it?
And I'm all surprised he's not. He's on the bench. Because I love him.
Who would it be? Who's come on?
Clue, you could link him to David Bowie, I suppose.
Oh, Andros Townsend.
There we go.
That's our goal scorers.
Yeah, four so far. So, yeah, that is worrying. But you look at their outfield players. So Liverpool have used just 18 different outfield players, meaning that 72% of those outfield players have scored, which is worrying.
Incredible.
And 21% of our outfield players have scored, which is, again, the lowest, like I said. Worries me slightly.
That'd be fine.
But we've got a strong defence, like I said. You only need to win a game 1-0. So we'll get one of those four goal scorers scoring. That's all we'll do. And let's end with two that particularly worry me.
This is the Dan Blundell.
All of this is...
looks like Opta to me.
Oh, no. The previous one was Dan Blundell. Sorry, mate. Previous one was Danny Blundell. The red card one. That's an interesting one.
Okay. Oh, wow. So he provided most of the pod. Okay.
We should just get him on, really, shouldn't we? Last two. So this one could be a bit of Premier League history. Liverpool on a fantastic unbeaten run. It's 29 Premier League games they've gone undefeated since the defeat at the Etihad. Now, if they avoid defeat tomorrow, that'll make it 30.
Good maths.
Hold on, mate. I'm halfway through. You can't just interject. Do you do that to Hodgson? Well done, Roy. That will make it 30, which will be the third longest run, equaling Arsenal's in 2001-02, Man City's in 2017-2018. So then jumping up then, the longest unbeaten run, famous for it?
The Arsenal game.
Yeah, with how many games?
Well, it was a season and then some more. I'm going to go with 43.
It was 50. One off the half century.
Rooney dived,
and they hate it and all that stuff. So 49 for Arsenal in first. Second place, Chelsea. So Chelsea had a run of 40 unbeaten games. Must have been under Mourinho, 2004-05. Still got a way to go. But yeah, it could be a bit of history if they avoid defeat. Wouldn't that be lovely? To end that. And the last one, sorry again for that. I don't know what's going on. My player to watch. Who's my player to watch?
Tomorrow?
Yeah. And it's not a Palace one, unfortunately. Player to watch out for?
Salah?
No.
Too obvious.
Although
that.
He has scored more winning goals than any other player in the Premier League this season.
Wow, you're good. Sadio Mane?
Yeah. Sadio Mane.
Mane. That's the English right. Say. But
you,
I say
you
Mane.
And your pronunciation.
I like Mane.
What was that player that you...
Mane, Sadio Mane.
What was that player...
Mane.
Mendy. Benjamin Mendy.
Oh, yeah, do you know what I found out? We think he might have been taking the mickey.
Oh, funny that, mate.
Benjamin Mendy. We heard him... Oh, he was talking about... On a video we heard him the other day and he called someone... Oh, he called Otamendi Otamendi. So I don't know whether he just changes D's to G's for a laugh or not.
He's done you there, hasn't he? He's absolutely done you.
I didn't say it on the mic.
Thank God he didn't score, eh? He's injured, isn't he?
I don't do the goal scoring. Mike does that.
You sometimes do.
I sometimes do, yeah.
Is that not a complete highlight for any Palace fan? Here is your goal scorer.
Yeah, it's good to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nice. It's just stressful because you're like... The goal scorer is da 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 da, and then you've got to hit glad all over on this thing, and then you've got to fade it out at the right time, and then make sure you've turned your mic off because there's people behind you chatting.
But you're not doing any of that. You're just pitch side waiting.
If you're on the mic, you do all that.
Yeah.
Not pitch side. No, you're up in the thing. He's up in the room.
Of course he is.
We should now that we've got Talkback, which is the little radio in the ear. We got it a couple of games ago. Yeah. It's very good. We might put him down by the dugout so that he can see the subs because it's really hard to spot the substitutions.
I was going to say, yeah. I love it. You know when there's a goal and you're like, oh, I don't know who scored that. And you can tell the guys are panicking. Like, quickly asking.
Going, can you get that? Can you get the replay of that? And we've got a guy on the replay thing winding it back. And we go, yeah, it's my car. Oh, no, hold on. It might be an own goal.
Because the amount of times they love it for own goals. They're like, I'll just give it to someone. And they go, goal scorer, James McArthur. Yeah. He's about 5 metres away from it.
Nice that the lawnmowers have gone off right at the end.
Yeah, right at the end of this poor day. But last one, Sadio Mane to watch out for because he scored 7 goals in 9 Premier League games against Crystal Palace, more than any other team.
Yeah, he scored for Southampton against us, didn't he? Seems to remember. Wasn't it one where a keeper came out and then he hit it? Keeper saved it and then it hit him. I don't know.
So many to remember.
Boring. So you're boring. As my wife else. Keeps telling me, I keep telling boring stories. So.
It's funny that. Yeah. Well, Mrs. Grierson is a wise lady.
26 That's minutes. Ridiculous.
What this do you want from me, mate?
I'm going to have to drop something off the podcast.
Do you want an alarm? Do you want some stop the start, man? Do you want, I mean.
Do you know what I'm going to have to do? Yeah. I'm going to drop the Roy's press conference.
No.
Off of the podcast.
No. That's what this pod is.
Yeah, but we've got this. We've got Wilf and Ambrose, which is like 20-odd minutes.
That's brilliant.
And then we've got James McArthur's broadcast interview, which he should really have a first-team player talking, looking ahead to the game.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 10 minutes.
Can you not do Hodgson's best bits? And you're like, 5 minutes, Hodgson.
This is going to take time.
Yeah.
Whereas this way, I can go back to the training ground now because this is just before the press conference.
Yeah, we
can get started on and get it out early. People can listen to it with enough time.
Got you. That'd be nice.
So, but if you do want to, you know, hear Roy Hodgson's press conference, just go... onto eagles.cbfc.co.uk. Watch Palace TV there. You can do it on the official club app as well. Watch the video this week because we don't want to, because this will just be too long and people will be put off listening to it.
You've upped your game since Ambrose got on the scene, didn't you? Look at you effortlessly flow into that. I put a bit of pressure on you last season and you beat me away. Now it's Ambrose. Clinton Morrison, though, you're seeing what he's done. He's upping his game, this Grierson.
Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to end this week. I've just decided. We're going to end with Wilf. And Darren Ambrose. So would you like to intro your friend Darren?
This is a real privilege. Can we just talk quickly? Everyone knows about him for his goal. Okay, that goal at Man United, one of the best goals Crystal Palace have ever scored. But the thing that I love about him more than ever, he scored one of the biggest goals in Crystal Palace Football Club history away at Hillsborough. Without that goal, there might not even be a club today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Darren Ambrose and Wilfried Zaha.
Wilf, on the way down, I wrote some things. Legend, Mr. Crystal Palace, one of the greatest players to play for the club. That's enough about me. We're here to talk to you. What's been happening today? What have you been doing with the kids?
Just to be honest, I didn't even know this was here. I've just come in and they showed me a few of the classes that go on, and like there's obviously the boxing class, there's cheerleading, there's the art class, there's the football side, and they were just showing me just what the kids get up to really. And it's like, it's cheap. It's like £5 for the year.
Wow.
And I think if you come run, if you come from day to day or whatever, it's like a pound. And the money that's being put into it is refreshing to see. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's fantastic.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's the community and not, I don't think there's much places that do as much, do you know what I mean? So it's like before there was, the Kickstarter I used to go to was like, it's like 5 minutes down the road, but it never had all of this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't mixed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do,
so
yeah.
Like there's girls and boys joining in, there's, so yeah, it's nice to see you, man. It's especially, it's massive for the kids as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was nice to come down.
Is this how you got started? Is this how you got started in football?
No, I what's it called? I used to play Sunday league. Imagine in that park across the road. I used to pay a pound to come and play. Yeah. Like, I used to play for Whitehorse Wanderers. Then obviously through them I got scouted for Palace, but Kix was 5 minutes from my house and all of my friends went there. So even when I was at Palace in the academy, I still went and played with my friends. Because it's in the community, it's in the area, and obviously I'm playing with my friends as well.
Because
obviously, you know, when you play outside, it's different to playing for your club because there's so much rules and stuff.
Yeah.
But you just get to play freely. So yeah, I still went and joined in, and yeah, man, that's why I liked it so much.
So this is where you learn. When did you sign for Palace then?
I signed for Palace at the age of 8.
Wow.
Yeah, so early. So I was at Palace for years, man. So,
yeah, I mean, Palace got a great academy. You look, Victor, Kleine, can bring Scans, Johnny Williams.
Yeah.
Do you keep in contact with any of them? Do you see how they're doing?
And I still speak to Kleine. Do you remember Cadogan?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I still speak to Cadogs. I still speak to Scans. Do you remember Nathaniel Pinney?
Yes.
Yeah, I still speak to him. I'll he still plays football.
We had some good players.
Yeah, yeah, some good players. So, yeah, Palace.
Did you know them growing up?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how many players actually came through the academy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still keep in contact with them.
Oh, that's good. Was there ever a point in the academy that you felt, I'm not going to make it? Or was you always confident?
No, there was certain points where, like when I reached, I think it was under 18s, I went through a spell where I wasn't playing at all.
Yeah.
And the person that was keeping me out of the team was Nathaniel Pinney. And I was thinking, oh my God, like I've never been through that phase where, do you know, as a footballer, you go through rough patches where obviously,
I went through more than you.
But yeah, that was the first time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just like, what do I do here? Like, obviously, the manager's not having me as much. So, like, I used to go home and actually cry at times because I was thinking, what do I do now?
Yeah,
but then, it's a thing where you just got to be mentally strong.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? I need to just carry on and push on. And obviously, I went through that spell. And then I think the spell that pushed me into first team was Youth Cup.
Yeah,
like went into Youth Cup, and then that's when I proper knuckled down and just worked hard and.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went all the way through Youth Cup, become mentally stronger, as you said.
Yeah.
When was the time? Do you remember when you first trained with the first team? How did you felt? The memories you've got from that? Anything that stood out? We had big characters in that team at the time.
Yeah, I was, to be honest, going with, like, first team, obviously, you know, first team was so different to how it is now.
Because
obviously now there's so much more youngsters in the teams, but then it was just like, there was the Sean Derrys, and, like, I used to be there and not say a word. Literally, I just go out and just, obviously, try to prove that I'm good enough to be there,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not go out there and muck about, because you'll get hammered.
Yeah.
Instantly, if you're just not, if you're not giving 100%, you know what I mean? So it was just like, I've got to just stay in my corner, be quiet, but just prove that I'm meant to be here.
Yeah. Is it similar to that nowadays? Obviously, you're saying you've come through, and if you're not knuckling down and doing it, you get the big characters. You've mentioned Sean Derry, Clint Hill, Paddy.
Yeah.
They give it to you. Is it like that now for young players?
I feel like not as much, man, because young players are given a lot from an early stage, and I'm not saying it's up to whoever club.
Yeah, the game's changed a little bit,
the game's changed. It's like, fair enough, if you're young, you get given an opportunity. Yeah. But some people, it comes so easy, and at a young age, they start to. If it gets given to you easier, you get the opportunity easier, you won't be as hungry as coming through when there's the big characters that will come down on you like a ton of bricks if you muck about over anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I do.
Now it's not easier, but it's not as hard as it used to be.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway.
Nah, cool. I've got it written down. I've written me notes. Your debut. Let's take you back to your debut. 27th of March, 2010. Paul Hart was the manager.
Yeah.
17 years old. Cardiff.
Cardiff. I remember.
I played in that game.
Yeah.
I remember you coming on. What's your memories of that?
To be honest, I wasn't even really nervous. I remember I was smiling so much, like when I was coming on, because I was thinking, this is all I wanted.
Yeah.
Like, this is everything I've gone through. This is finally it, the opportunity that I wanted. And it's just like, I just wanted to get on. And obviously, when I got on, I got a few chances, and it was just like, this is the best feeling ever.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story. You think back to what some of the Man United players say about Cristiano when they played against Sporting Lisbon, and we got to sign him. I mean, I remember having a chat to some senior players going, he's got to play. Mm. He only played about 10, 15 minutes, I believe, that first game, training. But then you didn't play again till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Was you aware of the pressure with being in administration that season? Was you aware as a young lad what it meant to the club?
Not as much. I was thinking... At the time, I didn't even understand it. Mm. But I was just thinking, what is going on? Like, what is happening to the club?
Yeah.
Like, I never really had the pressure as much because I wasn't really involved as much. I was there, but do you know, obviously, the pressure, you know, the pressure of when it's expected of you to score, because you used to score. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just like, I didn't know what was going on. I knew there was something mad going on and the club could, I don't even know. But I didn't have the pressures of anything then, but I was just thinking something needs to happen.
So, Hillsborough, we'll go to Hillsborough. You was involved.
Mm.
Where did you watch it? Was you nervous as much as the players? Because you'd been involved that season.
Yeah.
We needed the point, they need to beat us. What was going through your mind at that situation, that there potentially might not be a club at the end of it, you know?
I was just thinking, I don't know how... I don't know how these lot are going to do it, but you need to get the points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was at home watching it. I was thinking, this is mad. Like, because I've been at the club for years, and seeing the club go through that, it was just like, this is some serious stuff, man. It's not. It's once you get to that level, this is the thing. Like, there's certain points in football where, obviously, you love the game, but when you get to a certain point and so much is expected of you, it's not as much of it's not as fun and games as you think.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you going out there and playing that day, you know you have to. There's no...
You get a certain enjoyment out of it as well.
Yeah, you do, pressure. You do. With that pressure, obviously, you thrive off of
it.
But at the same time, this is not just a game, it's your job. You have to... Do you know what I mean? So I felt nervous for you lot, but I was thinking, we've got to do this.
Yeah.
We've got to pull through, really.
I mean, I had a similar situation at Ipswich. When I was young, I broke in. I played against Arsenal on my debut. We got relegated that day.
Wow.
In my head, that was a positive, because I'm thinking, I've got a chance next season.
Yeah.
So when we had a change of management, we had a lot of turnaround in players. Was there a point in the summer when you're thinking, you know what, I could get in this team? I know you had your opportunity before, you took it, but... There must have been thinking, if I come back pre-season and I play how I know I can play, I'm in.
To be honest, I was just thinking, I've got to just keep on trying to prove, and hopefully I'll get in. And obviously, I think, was it that next season where George Burley came in?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like...
And you started well.
Yeah.
You got straight in the team.
Yeah.
Leicester.
Yeah.
A goal, assist. I tell you what, some goal as well. You remember it?
Yeah.
Right Alan foot Lee. Kind of volley. Alan Lee flicked it.
Yeah. I could never forget that goal, man. That was like yesterday, man. Like.
Did it still feel as good now scoring as it did back then?
Yeah, it did.
Same feeling.
I can't. Do you know half the time? Yeah, in the mornings when I'm getting ready for the games, I practice celebrations in my room.
Wow.
But if I do score,
You never
do it. It goes out the window, man. Do you know what I mean? And I think I've practiced something for so long, like, but I never do it. So it's the same thing. Like, the passion that comes out of me when I score is like that same day when I scored then.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I in my head I was thinking, I got to just work hard. Hopefully I can get in. And then, do you know when you've got that, like the gaffer gives you that slight trust?
Yeah.
That slight belief.
Yeah.
So when he's giving me that, I thought, okay, I may be able to play then. Obviously he's giving me the opportunity and never looked back since.
Nah, cool. We share in that. I know Paul Hart gave you your debut. I know that. But I've got an affiliation with George because he bought me for Ipswich.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work for him. Can you put your finger on why? We lost to Millwall, I think, 3-0.
Yeah, I remember
Punch
that
scored
day.
A hat-trick.
Yeah.
And
I
he
remember
left.
That day.
What? Can you put your finger on what happened?
I don't know, man. Obviously, I loved him because he gave me so many opportunities. Yeah. But obviously, in football, it's the results that count, really. And I don't feel like we got as much the right results as we needed. And football's ruthless. If it was up to me.
We tried to play a different way than we could. I don't think we was a play out from the back, through midfield.
Yeah, you got to be honest with what you are, to be honest. Yeah. But I think that's why it didn't work. Obviously, we tried to play in a way where we just didn't have the players to play like that. Yeah. It just didn't work out. So
he left.
Yeah.
Dougie came in. I think the right appointment at the time.
Yeah.
He was first team coach. Everyone loved him.
Yeah.
What kind of impact has he had on your career, particularly early career?
To be honest, him being a striker, he helped me massively with like the runs that I had to make, practicing on my left foot, right foot, and he was on my case as well, relentless. Do you know what I mean? He was relentless on my case about it. Just even some of the small stuff, like if I remember I was late for something, and he made me pay. I can't remember what he made me pay for, but he what's it called? I don't know. I can't remember what he made me pay for, but those times, that money meant so much to me. So like it was small things like that just made me stay on the right path.
Yeah.
And it was enjoyable playing for him because the way he worked, he was just strict, but at the same time, he knew how to have a laugh.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure you remember the team then. I felt like the way the team worked was like robots. Everyone knew their positions. Everyone knew what they were supposed to do because there was a time, even when he left, we carried on winning because it's like the way he left the team was so, what's the word, like, it was like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. He was very regimental in what everyone had to do.
Yeah, that's how
everyone knew their jobs,
their
roles.
Yeah, everyone knew their jobs. It's so much easier when you know exactly what to do when you get on the pitch. So it was a good time when he took over, to be honest.
No, good. We can't stand here without talking about that game at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
In 2010, 2011, a long time ago now. That was the time the world of football really took notice of you, I feel. Mm. We all knew what you could do. And again, talking as a senior pro, I come away, I'd obviously scored a goal. It was half decent.
Everyone scored a goal, like that goal wasn't.
And we're not here to talk about them worldies. But I remember saying, all right, we scored, we won, but wow. I think you ended 3 fullbacks' careers that night. What would you remember about that? Was it nervous? I mean, they had a good team out.
It shocked us when
we turned up.
Yeah, they had a really good team out, man. I was surprised, but they wanted to win it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, but then, I don't know, man. It was, do you know, it was one of those games where it's like, we've got an opportunity here to just prove to the world that me personally proved to the world that I'm good enough. Do you know what I mean? So I went into that game thinking I've got to just give. I give 100% every game, but obviously some games it's just like you got to give that extra 10%. Yeah. So yeah, I was nervous as hell, but it's just like I got to show what I can do no matter what, really.
And you've done that. Everywhere I go, I'm always asked about the goal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm living off it. Does everyone ask you about the assist?
Yeah, people ask me and I'm like, why do you not even ask me this stuff? I've just literally giving you the ball, and I was direct. After I've given you it, yeah, I think I've gone inside this way, and I've given you it, and where I've stood is directly behind you as you've hit it. So I...
And you're thinking, what are you doing?
There's no way you're shooting from this far, but I've watched it go literally straight off your foot, top corner, and I was thinking, this guy's a joke. For you to even... I can't even shoot that hard for it to get... If I was to, it would not go anywhere near the goal. So for you to shoot that hard and hit it on target, I was just thinking, that's unbelievable, man. So that made that day... twice as it's going to stay in all of our heads because obviously that was a big day that we've won but that goal, it gets shown on Sky Sports regularly it's a memorable day.
And then you
was
involved
us,
in
man.
The winner you won
the
free kick.
Do you know what I mean? So
no one remembers Glenn scored the other goal
no one thinks about that because obviously that goal obviously it won the game but come on man, that goal was a screamer. So
that
was
I think that year we obviously lost to Cardiff in the semis.
Yeah.
I think that's a big chance for us to get to the final.
Yeah, man.
We lost on penalties.
And those penalties were so bad.
First two missed. that was frustrating.
Man.
I think
we had
a big chance that year.
Yeah, we could have gone all the way.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it'd have been Liverpool in the final and who knows?
Oh, yeah,
who knows?
You never know.
But when was you aware that the impact that had for you personally? Because you obviously impressed Sir Alex Ferguson that night. Was you aware immediately?
No. What's it called? When I've come off the pitch, my phone was blowing up. Like the whole world, that's when everyone started to pay attention to me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I saw stuff in the social media, like little rumours about Sir Alex Ferguson being interested in stuff. But I just tried to take no note of it because... Mm. It's as easy as that. If you pay attention to the media or whatever, you'll get sidetracked and then you'll come off your game and you're not going to be as, do you know what I mean? You'll start to think, oh my God, like, I really want to. So I just thought, you know what, I'll take it with a pinch of salt, like, just carry on doing what I'm doing, really.
Yeah.
And then, just not think about it. Yeah. And if anything comes from it, then
Oh, we'll briefly come back to that.
5 minutes.
No worries. 15 minutes, I think. No, we'll briefly come back. So, obviously, 2012, probably the worst decision I made leaving, but promotion season.
Yeah.
Yannick Bolasie come in.
Yeah.
Did you know him before? When did
no,
you strike
I didn't.
Up that partnership of terrorising defenders?
It was literally, he just came, he wasn't really playing at Bristol before, just came in and I knew he's a tricky player. So, obviously, it was nice to have someone that's competing with me on the other side, able to go past players.
Was you competing like that? Was you competing who could do the best tricks
and
score the best goals?
Who could go past? Because when you've got that competition, it's even better because it pushes you to be even better. So obviously having him on that side, and it helps me as well because people would double up sometimes. But then if you have two wingers that are pacey and got tricks, it'd make life so much easier.
That's what got Palace promoted, in my opinion. We won't talk too much about Man United. My opinion, people say you weren't utilised right. I don't think you were utilised at all.
Yeah.
I think if you were played properly, you'd still be there now. Probably one of the greatest players they've seen, in my opinion. But their loss is our gain as Palace.
Yeah.
Was it an easy decision to come back? Was it relief to come back?
Yeah, it was a no-brainer for me. Like, even the what's it called? The before I even went on loan to Cardiff, I wanted to come back to Palace.
Yeah.
But David Moyes didn't want to let me come back.
Yeah.
But when I came back to Palace, I thought I need the stability. I don't like going on loan to different clubs and stuff. I needed stability, and then it just made sense. Palace welcomed me back.
Yeah.
And it was just a no-brainer for me, especially just stay where I'm loved and just play my football and just enjoy it. So, as soon as I had the opportunity to sign back, I just did.
Yeah, so we'll come back to now day then. You've obviously got a manager who trusts in your ability, players that love you, fans that idolise you. For me, I like watching you on the left wing. I used to love it because you used to win penalties all the time and then I'd take them. So I used to love that. What's your favourite position? What do you think? Not favourite, where do you think you're best?
I think I'm best on the left.
Yeah.
On the left wing, really, because it gives me a lot more options. I can go down the wing and try cut it back, my assist against Liverpool away. Yep. Like go down the wing, cut it back. Then obviously, if we have someone in the box that can, like for example, Andros left footed, he can just hit in, and I can come inside, do 1-2s, come in and shoot on my right foot. So yeah, I prefer to play on the wing.
Ain't no better sight, mate. I'm telling you, watching you in full flow towards a fullback and then panicking.
Man, it's much easier, man, because if I'm on the right, I'm more restricted, but if I'm on the left, I can do a lot more, to be honest. So yeah, that's my preferred position.
I think we'll wrap up. Last question. You obviously got 10 Premier League goals last year.
Yeah.
Is that a target of yours? Do you set yourself targets?
Yeah, definitely. I set myself, because the season before that I got 8. Then I told myself I need to get double digits this season. So I'm happy I managed to get 8. I set myself targets every season. This season was to get over 10 goals, obviously. Yeah. I haven't started the season as good as I would like to, but I feel like I can still reach my goal. I could still get 10 or more goals this season again. So I tried to set myself goals.
You'll get chances.
Yeah.
That's something you'll do, and you'll create chances.
Yeah.
You'll win penalties. Yeah. And you win games for Palace. I just want to say thanks. It's my first interview.
Yeah.
To do it with someone like you is really good for me. So
I'm
appreciate
glad,
that. Thank you very much.